Seculo, you won't believe what President Biden called you.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So did you know that by putting America first, by caring about American values and liberty, free speech, the ability for people to share different opinions, that President Biden considers you, the MAGA crowd, as really, this is exact words, really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history. Then I guess he caught himself, because we've had some fairly extreme political movements in our history that were not good. So then he said, in recent American history. You know, because he was friends with guys who were in the KKK in the U.S. Senate, grand wizards of the KKK. So I don't know how far back his recent history goes. This is, again, following up, remember Hillary Clinton's deplorables? Again, this goes to that idea. You are awful. You're awful but lawful speech. You're the most extreme in our country. And this was, of course, about the Roe versus Wade leaked draft opinion of the court, which is not the final opinion of the court. Keep saying that over and over.
Yep.
But it was in response to that. This dig, they're trying to broaden out past abortion. They know that issue is not working right now, so they're trying to make it about other rights and that other things are going to be affected. Yep.
Yeah, let me play the bite. Here it is.
What happens if you have a state change the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way that the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
Okay, so first of all, he's saying the MAGA crowd is the most extreme and most dangerous political crowd that existed in political history in the United States. By the way, his Ministry of Misinformation and Disinformation, I guess that's where they're going to be looking, which means all of you. That's number one. Number two, let me just say this. This argument that all these other rights, like the right to same-sex marriage, the right to privacy, contraceptives, that they're now ginning this all up. Here is what Justice Alito's draft opinion, again, I underscore draft, which sharply distinguishes the abortion cases from the rights recognized in cases on which Roe and Casey rely, is something that both of these decisions acknowledge. Abortion destroys what those decisions call potential life, and what the law at issue in this case regards as the life of an unborn human being. None of the other decisions cited by Roe and Casey, which were all these other cases, there involved that kind of critical moral question. They do not support the right to obtain an abortion. And it goes on and on and on. He went out of his way in the opinion to say it will not affect these other rights that have come into existence. Why? Because it does not involve the life of another person being destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty easy distinction for people to understand. Adults making decisions, not discriminating against kids who go to school, which public schools, there's lots of case law on that.
You couldn't discriminate against kids going to public school on sexual orientation before any of these decisions.
Yeah, I mean, so this, again, it is all disinformation and misinformation to make it more about abortion. They don't want to debate abortion. They don't want to debate killing a child in the womb. They're losing the science on that. They don't want to start figuring out the timing of when is it right, when is it wrong. So they're trying to shift and mislead the public into thinking that this parade of horribles is going to happen that isn't going to happen, because the court said it very clearly. In all those situations, you're not talking about another human life being destroyed. That's what distinguishes this from all of those other cases, is there is another life here. But to believe that in Joe Biden's America in 2022 is to mean that you are the most extreme people in America. You're the most extreme political organization
Very
in America.
Dangerous.
They use that kind of language, they are coming after you. That's exactly, it's giving
back
a green light to all the government agencies to say, target these groups. That's why we're already fighting back on the disinformation board. You got to join with us at ACLJ.org, because this is the what the lowest learners of the world are looking for. They look for this language to justify targeting you.
Only anyone in society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected, is there any hope for that culture to survive? And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The idea the President of the United States is labeling, you know, the 76 million Americans who voted for President Trump and many Americans who are still would consider themselves part of the MAGA crowd, if you will, or at least the America First idea. They were Trump supporters, labeling them as the most extreme political movement in American history. And then he caveats within recent American history. But again, what happens here? The President of the United States makes this statement. He is signaling to all these government agencies exactly. That have been weaponized. We have lived that through the IRS. And they were getting a lot of pressure from Congress to go after the Tea Party groups. You've got the President of the United States demonizing half of the country politically. Now, it's not necessarily half the country by numbers, but the people who actually vote, the people who are involved in politics on a more daily, more regular basis, people are listening to this broadcast, that you are part of this extreme movement, thus that justifies the government investigating you and coming after you. And that is what, I guarantee, this is what they look for. These liberal bureaucrats look for some kind of signal. This was the signal. And he earlier did it at a smaller event, didn't get as much attention, because it wasn't related to Roe versus Wade. But take a listen to this one by 24.
This is a MAGA party now. It's, you know, you got the senator from Texas and others. These guys are a different breed of cat. They're not like what I served with for so many years. And the people who know better are afraid to act correctly because they know they'll be primaried.
You know, here's the problem with Joe Biden's logic on all this. Meanwhile, apparently someone on the left of the center, let's say, has leaked an opinion by a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. It's only happened never in U.S. history. Trying to attack the institution of the Supreme Court. They're using that as a three-prong attack. We know this. To try to either get a justice to change their position, get Congress, which may happen next week, to try to move to federalize the right to abortion as recognized in Roe, or to use this as a justification for Joe Biden to propose packing the court, adding numbers to the justices that currently serve. So you've got this three-prong attack going on. Then what do you do the next day? What's your pivot? The pivot the next day is let's go after the group. We're going to not talk about the Supreme Court opinion like that anymore. We're going to move on to these other issues, which the Supreme Court specifically says don't apply. But then we're going to say it's the MAGA group. It's these people, these conservative Americans. And by the way, we've now let out of the bag that we have a Ministry of Disinformation or a Board of Governments for Misinformation and Disinformation that's trampling on your First Amendment rights. That the American Center for Law and Justice, by the way, has already sent out a Freedom of Information demand, and we were looking at a lawsuit possibly. They're starting to backpedal on this. But what Jordan said, I want to underscore here. When Joe Biden, as President of the United States, says this MAGA crowd is the most dangerous political organizations that existed in American history, he has weaponized the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, already weaponized with their board that they put up. He has weaponized the Department of the Treasury, which includes the Internal Revenue Service. He's weaponized the FBI to start looking at these people. And how do we know? Because when we sued the IRS, we've sued the FBI too, but when we sued the IRS and beat them back, we got the emails where they said, hey, what we need to do is get the FEC and DOJ involved in this, and then we'll shut this political movement down. So as soon as they get back in power, they tried the same things, but this time, I think more nefariously and more dangerously, by setting up this panel and by the president signaling this message.
Even the language he uses when he was talking about the other senators, how in Washington, D.C., he said they're, quote, afraid to act correctly, as if he is the arbiter of what is correct, or that the U.S. government should be the arbiter of how we should politically act. That is not the role of the agencies of the U.S. government or the president. He can try to persuade you to vote for him and support his policies, but to say that people are, the way that they're acting is incorrect, that you are the most extreme, it's a justification to use the levers of power to target you. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. He is just, I think he's not as, he just lets it out in a more direct way than maybe the Obama years, where it was somewhat more sophisticated the way they were going about the targeting until it got uncovered. Ultimately, it wasn't the president himself doing it. It was Lois Lerner making the statement about going after the Tea Party. But what there's so many Lois Lerners in the government.
Oh, more than
so
you
if they
count.
Hear that the president believes this. Okay, that he believes this MAGA movement is so extreme, it's a threat to America, that people aren't acting correctly, it's disinformation, misinformation. You've got to do something about it, right? If you're the government, if you work for the government, you've got to protect the government and protect the country from these so-called extremists. So what do? They start targeting your speech. And so they set up the disinformation board. They've weaponized already so many agencies of the federal government whose job is to do one thing, and in fact they're doing another, which is interesting because most of the time they're spending their time creating mis- and disinformation. So whether it's Mayorkas or whose job is at the border protecting us from terrorism, they've now labeled you. You're the threat. And they've already done this to some extent, but I think we're at a very dangerous point, Dad, because
yes,
we're seeing new agencies weaponized.
Well, not only new agencies weaponized, but new agencies. This is what's really, what you said is so important, that it's signaled from the top, and like the IRS got the signal too, that it weaponizes agencies that are law enforcement agencies. So these are agencies that job is law enforcement. So what does that mean? That means they have the power to investigate and impanel grand juries and issue subpoenas and move in a way that could expose people potentially, if the government so thinks, to criminal exposure. Now, the reality to all of this is that we don't think they have the authority to do this. And they backpedaled a little bit on this misinformation board. But the day they do that, and then you have the president of the United States saying the MAGA group is the most dangerous political movement in American history. Gee, you think about some of these dangerous groups we've had in American history, Communist Party in the United States. And that this crowd is the most dangerous? Well, that signals to the whole federal bureaucracy, take them out. Which they tried, the IRS tried and failed to do. But they did try to do it. Let's not kid ourselves. They did try to do it.
Yeah, and this idea again, that freedom-loving, flag-waving Americans who consider themselves patriots, who say, you know, put America's interests first, that that is somehow a threat to our homeland, that is the most extreme political ideology. It's an ideology that should be celebrated. If you don't have to be, you don't have to be a Republican to even be part of that idea. And I think that's what they know is the bigger threat to them politically as Democrats is that it brings in so many more people. That's why they say the MAGA crowd and not just Republicans. Because Republicans, a lot of MAGA people say, there's Republicans I don't like. We were talking about Murkowski and Collins being the ones trying to codify Roe versus Wade into law, the two Republican senators. So he knows he's got to go broader than that. And then if you start thinking twice, this is how they start getting you. You think twice about going to the rally. You think twice about speaking out.
Sure.
You think twice about going to the school board meeting. You think twice about going to the rally. You think twice about putting the yard sign up. You think twice about putting the bumper sticker on. You start thinking, maybe I shouldn't even tell my friends, and certainly not people I work with, my political views, because the president of the United States just labeled them the most extreme in history.
Yeah. Listen to what Tulsi Gabbard, who's a friend of our broadcast and someone we've known well for a number of years, this is what she said on Fox News yesterday.
When you look at the President of the United States of America calling millions of Americans essentially terrorists, people who politically opposed him or voted against him, he's calling them terrorists in an attempt to intimidate them into silence. And we know this is because we've heard this before from both him and his attorney general. You'll remember when his attorney general said, you know, anyone who holds extremist or anti-authority views will be targeted for investigation and potential prosecution by their domestic terrorist unit. So he's essentially saying that this quote-unquote MAGA crowd are worse than terrorists.
I mean, this is she's right. But this is signaling. And we're going to be joined by Mike Pompeo next.
He's part of the MAGA crowd.
He is part of the MAGA
crowd.
He's
in the administration.
Secretary of State, was the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. We're going to get his impact. Now, let me tell you what we're doing. We have, and this goes to, we'll talk about it later in the broadcast, about the Supreme Court opinion. We are multi-fronting these things. We've got a team that is looking at this potential of codifying Roe as a federal right through legislation. We've got a team that will get an initial report from our lawyers on that on tomorrow. We'll get the first draft of what we think will be a potential attack if, in fact, it goes that way. So, because we know what they're doing on that, we'll get into that later in the second half hour. We also have a team that is looking at this information and disinformation board. Why? Because we think it's a restriction on speech, and the president is clearly signaling who he wants to target, regardless of what Mayorkas says, the right. Secretary of Homeland Security.
And they put in charge a partisan actor, so their justification for the disinformation board doesn't add up. So even when they came back and said, okay, this, you know, they put out their two-pager on it, what they used as examples, you would not place someone who was a partisan actor involved in it. It wasn't about political speech, but yet they put in someone who's only job has been political speech, hasn't been cartels, hasn't been about immigration at the border or Russian cyber attacks on our systems. So we're going to get to Secretary Pompeo. I want you to support our work at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Secular, we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to those in a bit, but we are joined right now by our senior counsel for global affairs, a former Secretary of State and CIA Director Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I want to go first to you on this leak out of the Supreme Court. I mean, unprecedented to see a leak like this of Justice Alito's draft opinion. Just your initial reaction when this news broke. I mean, you were in charge of two government agencies, and there's certainly an issue with leaking in the government, but we haven't seen it in the judicial branch.
Jordan, it's just broke my heart. I suffered from this. The Trump administration suffered from massive leaks inside of the organizations we were running, almost always with a political agenda. This certainly looks like what happened here as well. And to see this institution, a very small, close, tight-knit group that has never had this before, release something that was clearly attempting to impact decision-making at the court, or to at least get public opinion inflamed. It's just absolutely disheartening. It is tragic. This person is not a hero. This person is someone who clearly violated the rules of the court, probably the law as well, and ought to be prosecuted to the full extent possible.
You know, Mike, I've litigated before that court for four decades, as recently as about 18 months ago. Got filed a brief in a case just a couple weeks back. I have been doing this for a long time. I have studied Supreme Court history. I did my PhD doctorate on that. There's never been a leak in U.S. history of an opinion, of a Supreme Court opinion, on a case that hasn't been decided yet. Yet they did it here. Now, we talk about you had leaks. We had leaks when I was representing the president. You had leaks when you were dealing with the State Department or the CIA. The difference here is not that it was expected in those agencies that you ran, but it was unfortunately fairly common. It is not common in the Supreme Court workings of that branch of government. And as you said, it's a very tight group. It's a very close-knit community. Even the justices that disagree have a very collegial relationship. This is doing tremendous damage, and it was done to inflame three things, we think. One, to try to get a justice maybe to waver off and make that majority opinion a dissent. Two, to get the Congress, which they're talking about doing next week, to try to federalize the right to abortion as recognized in Roe. Or three, give a justification for President Biden to say, we got to pack the court. We need more people. Look what these radical judges are doing. All of this, though, undercuts completely the integrity and independence of the judiciary, and I called it an institutional insurrection. How do you react to the fact of what's actually going on here and the pressure that's now being placed on these justices?
It's very real. I saw this morning reports that there's now a security that's going to be needed for them and for their families. This was all part of the plan, and I watched the Biden administration respond within hours. I wish they'd responded that way to protect the Ukrainian people. There was clearly something here that is nefarious. There's no doubt about that. And, Jay, to your point about you litigating there before, think about this. It's not just the Supreme Court. Now every circuit court in America is going to have to worry about this. There will be all the ways that these folks communicated with each other are going to have to be changed. There'll be less in writing. There'll be more done on the fly. There will be institutional responses to this that make courts less capable, less independent. And this was a sacred institution, and it's now been violated in the most fundamental way. And to watch the progressive left write that off as heroic or appropriate or useful or constructive or necessary, those are things that run so counter to the American way. It's just unacceptable. And I pray that this turns out to be one-off, and 50 years from now we say, well, it happened once and everybody got their act together. I imagine that will not be the case, and there'll be real behavioral changes on the part of justices and judges all across America.
What I'm worried about, Secretary Pompeo, is that we're starting to see the politicians weigh in, and they don't care. On the left, they're going to try and normalize this, like we were just talking about how it's normal to see leaks out of other branches of government. So let's normalize leaks out of courts, like you said. It's going to expand. I mean, Adam Schiff literally said, "quote I don't care how the draft leaked. That's a sideshow. What I care about is that a small number of conservative justices who lied about their plans to the Senate intend to deprive millions of women of reproductive care. Codifying Roe isn't enough. We must," and here we go, "expand the court." This is Adam Schiff, who's had problems with his staff and him leaking out documents and sometimes putting out documents that were totally incorrect as a leak. But the idea that they're saying that's a sideshow, we don't even care that this happened, this leak out of the court happened.
This from Jordan, this from Adam Schiff, the Gang of Eight member who's the head of the House Intelligence Committee, to say that he doesn't care about how proprietary information from the Supreme Court, Article III's most senior justices, it's so disheartening. And he's not unique. It is their view. They are about using whatever tools available to achieve their ends, and it is not only unacceptable, it is evil. And to hear Congressman Schiff say that doesn't surprise me. I saw him leak when I was Secretary of State, CIA director. I watched things go into his committee and wander into the press. It is so disturbing. And, I think the American people are going to hold leaders accountable who refuse to do the basic thing to protect an institution like our Supreme Court.
You know, if you look at the comments, Mike, from even Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson, she says, "I don't have a particular view on that," and talking about the leak, "other than to say we note the unprecedented nature of it." But then they get into the real friction is the decision itself. So they're glad it was leaked. Let's be honest. The left is glad it was leaked. They've got thousands of people protesting in front of the Supreme Court. And by the way, this is a very dangerous time for the Supreme Court, so the protesters need to be civil. They're not. Their fact is, they're letting the pro-choice protesters. This is a situation we're looking at, right? Pro-choice protesters are getting, guess what, favored status as far as where they can be posted versus the pro-life protesters. Take a look at that one right now, because that I've argued those cases up there for 30 years. You can't have viewpoint discrimination on where people are. Having said all of that, the fact is this is a pressure campaign on the justices, on the legislature, and frankly on the White House to take action. How do you see the combat? We think what we're doing is a three-prong attack here. We are going to bolster the situation that comes to Congress. We're already working with that to stop the legislation. We're going to get information out on all this, and we've already sent, we haven't even gotten into this disinformation, but the president labels MAGA supporters as the most dangerous political party or political group in American history.
Jay, it's stunning to hear the president go to the podium yesterday. Clearly orchestrated campaign, probably poll tested, saying this is the ultra MAGA movement is an extremist group. Well, I guess I'm an extremist now. I will say this: those of us who believe in the sanctity of human life and that life begins at conception have a real responsibility to engage, just the way the ACLJ has engaged for so many years.
to fight this. Do it with moral clarity. Do it with joy in our hearts.
Yep.
Make the case for why this is so important. And those who are either political leaders who can have some ability to impact how this moves, and make sure that these justices also understand that they should do the right thing and render their judgments in a way that's consistent with what they believe, and not let the political pressure impact them one iota.
That is the key. We appreciate you joining us, Secretary Pompeo, part of our team, as our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the American Center for Law and Justice. And that's why we've got our petition up at aclj.org. Over 50,000 of you have signed that petition, so we want to get that to 100,000. One is to exactly what Secretary Pompeo says, to make sure that these justices can perform their job without fear, without threat. You're seeing a threat of other branches of government. We don't care about the leak. We don't even have an opinion on the leak. We have an opinion on, we want to pressure the justices to act in a certain way. So we want you to sign this petition to protect life, but also to protect our third branch of government and a co-equal branch of government, the judiciary, at aclj.org. Sign that petition today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So I have a feeling many of you listen to this broadcast voted for President Trump, maybe twice, for President of the United States. Well, guess what? If you did, and if you supported any of his candidates that he's endorsed, or if you even like his judicial nominees who are now in the U.S. Supreme Court, President Biden believes that you are part of the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history. The most extreme political organization that's existed in American history. When the President of the United States, take out that he's a politician also, but when the President of the United States makes that comment about so many millions of Americans, he is telling his government to target them. Because if he honestly believes that, whether it's about politics or not, if they're that extreme, well, certainly you got to eradicate that. You got to eradicate that political movement. You've got to make it where people are afraid to say that they support Donald Trump, or they support America First, or they support these other candidates that he's endorsed. You say, again, you start people, this is that whole idea of how do you chill out speech. One is to, of course, moderate all the content and take it down. But the other is just to silence it. So where you're going to have to make decisions like, do I want to say this, or will my job be in jeopardy? Or if I post this, is the FBI coming after me? Or the IRS? That's their idea.
And signaled by the president.
Signaled by the president of the United States. Telling these agencies. And the Disinformation Board is just the latest example of how they are putting people in place to put that pressure on. That board, what it appears to be doing, and appears its purpose will be, is to pressure social media and content platforms to limit or remove conservative speech. And they're just using MAGA to describe Americans who say America First is a good idea. And maybe I don't support Joe Biden's inflation America. But this idea, again, to demonize your political opponents this way,
yep.
And that is what they're doing. It's not to say don't vote for them because I strongly disagree with their views. It is the demonization, and then we see the weaponization of these various agencies of our government. And I want to hear from folks. How concerned are you about this? because we're getting in, we are in election season right now in the midterms, and this is all in prep for the big election. So this is, they're testing different messages now because he's got to run for re-election ultimately once those elections are over. But they think they maybe they've got this moment to reverse course with how bad things are looking for Democrats in the November elections. So what do you think? 1-800-684-3110. Does language like this from Biden make you think twice? Not because you're not a patriot, but because you got to put food on the table. You got to keep your job. You don't want to lose your employment or have your social media accounts shut down because you happen to be someone who supports the America First agenda. That's somehow dangerous in our country. I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110.
But let's, something Jordan said earlier in the broadcast, and it's got to be repeated, and that is this issue, this is being signaled from the top. When the President of the United States, do we have the short bite of that? I want to play it. 6 seconds.
This MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
And then and 4 days before that, we find out that the president, through the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, has put together a board of governance for information of misinformation and disinformation. And we're already on top of it at the ACLJ, so we want to let you know we're working on it right now. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me tell you something else. Another project, we want to educate your kids. We continue to do that. We have our Bald Beagle project. We've had a lot of great success with that. May 5th is an important milestone date in American history because it marks the anniversary of astronaut Alan Shepard's journey into space. In 1961, astronaut Shepard became the first American to leave Earth and explore space. Historic day, and we've got a video up at baldbeagle.com. It's up there on the screen, and that talks about this as a great way to educate your kids on the greatness of America. That's how America was made great. So what you want to take a look at that and share that with your family. We'll be back with more in a moment. Especially Rumble and Facebook. We just played a two-minute version of a brand-new piece from our team here at Bald Beagle. That is the programming that we do aimed for kids to understand America's history and America's greatness. This one's about Alan Shepard, the first American in space. I know it's rolled out now. You can go to baldbeagle.com, and it's on YouTube. It's going to also be, I think it's going to be on Rumble as well. And a number of the other social media platforms. It's a great piece. We just played a two-minute version of it, a trailer of it. We want to encourage you to do that at Bald Beagle about Alan Shepard. Today was the day he went into space on behalf of the United States.
You know, talking about real disinformation, we're going to get your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. Secretary Mayorkas was back before the Senate yesterday and got into this exchange with Senator Paul. They're just trying to come to an agreement on what is actually disinformation. Can we even agree on not just the what the word should be defined as, which they're so broad that everything could be fall into that, but what is actually the actual disinformation? Take a listen, Byte 13.
Do you think the Steele dossier included Russian disinformation?
Senator, that's not a question that I'm equipped to answer.
It was in the public news. It was you may have heard of it, the Mueller investigation. It was a $32 million investigation that went over a couple of years. Horowitz was an investigator general, and he looked at the FBI's activity in the beginning of this. And what the FBI concluded was that there were FBI agents throughout this period of time who concluded that, yes, the dossier was full of Russian disinformation.
And it goes on. I want to go right to Byte 15 because to get to Mayorkas, the idea that we cannot agree on even because it involves Donald Trump. That's why. So we are the only people that can put out disinformation, misinformation. The extremist political organization like the MAGA crowd, not people who oppose the MAGA crowd. That's not really disinformation. They're just trying to save America, right? So Byte 15.
The problem you have is you're not even willing to admit. I mean, we can't even have an agreement on what the FBI said was disinformation. How do you propose that you're going to have an office of disinformation governance if you see the problem in even determining what is disinformation?
Oh, Senator, because our work is not focused on disinformation writ large. Where we, the Department of Homeland Security, become involved is when there's a connectivity between disinformation and threats to the security of the homeland.
Yeah, well, then let's play what the 6 second bite of what the president of the United States said about the MAGA crowd.
This MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
So did they think the American people, do they think we don't get this? They put up this Board of Governors for Misinformation and Disinformation. The president labels the greatest threat, a political threat, is this MAGA crowd. And what do they think is going to happen? That they're not going to use the Board of Governors for Misinformation and Disinformation to go after conservatives? Guess again, Harry.
I think you're precisely correct. And so one of the things to keep in mind here is that the Democrats, the left-wingers, believe that they are supremely gifted with self-righteousness. And so only they are entitled to define disinformation. The American people, however, know better. Who can forget the breathless reporting about the Trump-Russia collusion narrative? Who can forget the claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction? Who can forget President Biden's claim that we will not leave Afghanistan until all Americans get out? Who said inflation is temporary? Who said inflation is Putin's fault? This is all government misinformation, and so DHS Secretary Mayorkas is right not to engage with Senator Paul in defining misinformation because that would implicate the Biden administration writ large.
And why is a real disinformation campaign, which is a threat, which is infected one of our major political party candidates and while they were in office, because it led to investigations, and Mayorkas said, well, their job is to investigate threats to the security of the homeland. Wouldn't that be a threat to the security of the homeland? No, because it was Donald Trump. But if it was Joe Biden and there was all this disinformation going on about them, they wouldn't have launched investigations. They would have had their disinformation governor's board just come out and say, no, that's not true. You don't need to look there. Don't look that way. The laptop's not real. Remember? That's how they handle things, and they've got the government buy-in. So they don't see a threat to a commander-in-chief that's President Trump as a security threat worth being involved in as the Department of Homeland Security. So they are already treating you like Harry's talking about. They are deciding who to protect, who is worth fighting for, whose speech should be protected, whose speech should not be protected. I want to go right to the phones. Melissa calling from South Carolina on line four. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Jordan. I'm aware that Biden's statements are a strong indication for me to be fearful that he would destroy my conservative voice and that he has the potential to destroy my life, but I have to stand against it no matter what, and I won't back down on what I believe, and if he destroys me, so be it. I have faith in God that God will take care of me, but I'm not going to back down from my conservative voice because of his wrong statements.
And I think what we do is if we all take that position, Melissa, we don't back down, there is strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. We saw that when they tried to go after the Tea Party groups. When they all came together, there was more strength there. It didn't just feel like you were being isolatedly targeted. And so there's strength in our voice. We just have to continue to fight back because they're going to do everything possible to silence the voices that unify. So broadcasts like ours that bring all of you together to get information, to learn, to discuss, to have opinions, to have views, They want to dethrottle that. They want to limit that as much as possible. Because, again, their belief is we're part of the most extreme political movement in American history. That's something you would need your Department of Homeland Security to look after.
Exactly. And it also raises, Harry, very serious First Amendment issues. And now that the president is stating it, stating what he wants to go after, it makes it very clear. And by the way, we're already on top of this. We already have a Freedom of Information Act request out. We've got a team of lawyers right now that are looking at ways to attack this board. We looked at their fact sheet, which really, Harry, told us nothing. I mean, if we're being really honest about it. How do you see this moving? I think this is one of the greatest threats on free speech that we've seen. And the president signaling that the MAGA crowd is the danger, I think really amps it up another degree.
I think that's correct. And he's also signaling the deep state. That is the bureaucrats that are deep in the bowels of Washington, D.C. to go after conservatives, just like the IRS targeted Tea Party advocates, just like the CDC targeted COVID-19 patients with respect to their compliance to COVID-19 directives. So I think at the end of the day, this is a very serious threat to freedom of speech, but equally clear, it's a very clear and present danger with respect to the United States Constitution and to the Constitutional Republic, which we both support.
So here's what we have, and this is what I think is important. We've got two major issues that the ACLJ has to focus on. Sometimes events dictate what you have to do next. We get there's the leak of the opinion on the Roe versus Wade overturn in the Dobbs case, which we filed multiple briefs in. We've been litigating these cases for decades. If that opinion is correct, two of our cases are cited in that opinion. Let me say this. We know that the left is utilizing this to motivate their base. There are thousands of people in front of the Supreme Court. I spoke to one of our clients yesterday who is being discriminated against on his ability to speak out, by the way. They're letting the pro-choice crowds get more access than the pro-life crowds. We're looking at that. But we're also looking at how we're going to fight back in the halls of legislature against the codification of Roe. We're making sure, to the best of our ability, that by talking about this, that justices don't get intimidated and change their view to because they're scared, because the security threats on these justices are now real. That's been reported. And number three, don't let Joe Biden use this as an excuse to pack the court. So we have our hands full on that. All that's going in place. At the same time, we're looking at challenges. We've got a Freedom of Information Act request out on this Board of Governance for misinformation and disinformation. While the president says, here's the crowd you need to be concerned about the most.
Yeah, I mean, he's directing. I mean, ABC News, this is an ABC News headline. Again, so again, not conservative media, mainstream media outlet, ABC News. The DHS Disinformation Board's work and plans remain a mystery. A newly formed Disinformation Governance Board remains shrouded in secrecy a week after the Biden administration's announcement of the new effort was met with widespread criticism. So even the mainstream media has to admit they're up to something no good. And when he uses that language about you being the extremist, that we've seen this playbook time and time again. He is from the Obama administration, Joe Biden. He saw how do you try and shut down a movement when you're getting into a midterm election. It's the same playbook from the Tea Party.
No, exactly,
that was a midterm election.
And they try to get other agencies involved. Harry, we got less than a minute, but that's why we have to have a coordinated effort to fight back aggressively.
I think that is true, and I also think we have to be resolute in this, and I think that we need to encourage our audience to support us strongly in this effort because we are truly fighting for the American people on this particular issue.
And folks, you can stay up to speed with all this at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. Being labeled an extremist like this by the Commander-in-Chief, by the President of the United States, it's not just a politician speaking, it's not just a member of the House. Again, he is signaling to his agencies exactly what to do. Silence you. Scare you into silence. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3122. Because I have a feeling there's a lot of people listening to this broadcast who won't be scared into silence. We'll be right back. We're going to get to some of your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to be with us on the broadcast. Laura is calling from Washington State on line 3. Hey, Laura.
Hello, everybody. I am so proud that you guys are fighting for us. And I want to let you know that I'm a pro-life leader and actually of a pro-life organization here in Washington. And we have been in front of the local Planned Parenthood for the last 15 years. And myself, only the last 7. But I want to let you know that we are standing for our rights for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, because we hold signs that say, pray to end abortion every day. We actually even have a house across the street where we can post these signs and things to offer help. But what I want to tell you is what I observed on Monday before it became news about the leak. The Planned Parenthood here, the parking lot suddenly filled up at a very odd hour, and it wasn't with patrons. It was all kinds of cars. The affiliate that's in Seattle totes our building here across the street from us as the most beautiful in the state. But suddenly in Seattle and in Olympia, all these pre-printed signs showed up that day.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling you that I think the Planned Parenthood was in on the leak, but I know they were.
Let me tell you this, Laura. because I've litigated Planned Parenthood. Jordan has CeCe Hiles with us. She has. They're always they're prepared for these moments. When that decision was leaked, they were in front of the Supreme Court. Thousands of people.
No, I know. It's within an hour. Like this, they don't happen in one day. This was a planned story. So the White House knew. I mean, that's what the talk is.
Yeah, that's yes.
So they weren't caught off guard. And let me tell you something. Planned Parenthood is so entrenched inside the Democrat Party. You're right, Lisa. They knew. And we talked to one of the pro-life protesters saying how that night it was all the pro-abortion protesters who were pre-planned, ready to go in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. By the next day,
it was pro-life.
It was more of a balance, if not even favoring the pro-life protesters. So it was obvious that they knew, because it's a mainstream media outlet, it's Politico, but it all starts spreading around because they're entrenched inside the Democrat Party.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is they are trying to get this opinion modified by threat. I mean, I hate to say it that bluntly, but that's what it is. This is an intimidation campaign targeting, in my view, the Supreme Court of the United States. That's what I think they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Planned Parenthood always has a plan. They're not planning parenthood, but they're planning attacking anybody who stands for the right to life. And they're worried about this draft opinion because it's incredibly strong, and it upholds the right to life of the unborn baby, and they can't tolerate that.
No, they can't tolerate it, and it's extensive. It's a 68-page opinion repudiating the false basis upon which Roe was decided, which even liberal commentators, and Justice Alito cites these liberal commentators, says was wrong from the start. But because it's abortion, and then what happened was, which was so interesting, it didn't really get them the kind of rally they thought they would get. And now what are they doing? LGBT kids can't go to school under this opinion, which is the exact opposite. We'll get into that in a moment. The exact opposite of what Alito says.
Yeah, interracial marriage is going to be banned.
Yeah, and you're saying that to Clarence Thomas?
Literally. So I want to go to Bob's call in Maryland, because this is a really good call, because this is part of the Democrats' plan. Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
Hello. Great. I presume if Congress succeeds in codifying Roe v. Wade, their legislation will be carefully crafted to align with court precedent regarding federal primacy. And I'm wondering if Justice Alito's draft opinion gives more grounds to fight that on the basis of, you know, deferring to the states and the fact that powers that are not explicitly granted to the federal government belong to the states.
Yeah, so you're going to have this clash between the 10th Amendment and the Supremacy Clause. And we're researching all of that right now. I don't politically, we've got, listen, our government affairs team is already working on this. So we've got a team working on this. Legally, we're also working on it. We're supposed to get actually our first draft of kind of where we think it could be. Friday is, I think, tomorrow is the plan, right?
Yes. And the issue is, if the Supreme Court is saying there is not a constitutional protection for abortion, there is no right to abortion found in the Constitution, and they're specifically saying this is an authority and a right that goes back to the states, there is an argument to be made that it's not an issue that can be decided at the federal level.
Yeah, but it will be litigation, and we need to stop it at the legislative stage.
That's right, because what they know is that if they can do this at the federal level, it keeps the battle stuck in federal courts, and it prevents the states from moving forward with putting in the restrictions that their state legislatures want to do, because everything would get stalled, and it'd be, you know, who has the right role. So they've got a strategy in place, but it can be defeated. It's a political strategy, so it's not automatic. But it is, they're moving quickly, like as soon as next week.
Yeah, so, you know, here's what they're talking about. They're talking, it's a three-prong attack, and we're fighting back on all three prongs. We've already sent the Freedom of Information out requests on the Misinformation, Disinformation Governance Committee. On this one, what we're doing is addressing it three ways. Our government affairs team is already pushing on Capitol Hill to have the pro-life senators and congressmen stand firm here. We're encouraging, of course, by broadcasting, for the Supreme Court to stand firm, if in fact that's their decision, to not be intimidated by an unbelievable breach, an institutional internal insurrection that has taken place inside the Supreme Court. And then third, and this is important, don't allow this to be court packing. But Chuck Schumer, just, 40 hours ago? Here's what he said. 28. Okay, we don't seem to have that one. So I'm looking at it right there. It's number 28. All right, we'll get it. Basically, here's what he said. Look at the bottom line is our first step is to have the vote that we're going to have next week. Then he's talking about on the issue of, the issue as it relates to codifying Roe. Then he says, the bottom line is we're going to look to these elections on number. I think it's going to. The American people are going to speak loudly and clearly that we need some change. And the reporter was asking questions about court expansion. So there you have it.
Yeah, they're demonizing the judicial branch. And what I think what you've got to understand is that this is not happening. They're not waiting until November. They're starting next week. And it's not all just Democrats. There's a couple Republicans at play here, too, with Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. So they've got a whole plan to play. We broke it down yesterday with Thay, and we can break it down again in future broadcasts. But what we've got to be ready for is to fight that back legally, because they are preemptively, remember, there's no official opinion out yet. You have to understand that there's no official opinion out yet, and they're trying to rush through a federal codification of the right to an abortion in congressional law, trying to use a couple Republicans to get it done.
Yeah, but we should make no mistake about it. They will do everything. Look, we know that this is an authenticated opinion, so they're thinking this one may well be it. Now, there may be modifications to it that probably have been, but they're thinking this is for real. They're not, Planned Parenthood is not stopping.
No, they'll do anything to undermine this draft opinion if it is real. And I mean, it is a real draft opinion, but if it remains the same, they are running scared and should be, because it's very strong for life, and they will do anything in their power to undermine it.
Yeah. Folks, that's why we want you to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We got a brand new petition up. Over 50,000 people have signed this. We need, again, that strength in numbers, standing up together, letting the government know that, no, they are not the majority view, and we're not going to be demonized, and we're not going to shut up, and we're not just going to sit by and let them do whatever they want and intimidate courts and intimidate justices. And we're going to stand up, and we're going to fight back. You can do so by signing our petition at ACLJ.org. Everybody's always saying, what can I do? Can I do something else?
And we're going to get those to the House and the Senate next week.
Because that battle has already begun.
Started.
Legislatively. So you think that you may have won the judicial battle, maybe, since 1973. And you got to go right back, and we're ready, to Congress next week. Go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition. We'll talk to you tomorrow.